Hey, that's the first thing I said. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Skid Row Studios and to Intellectual Kink. What's the name of our show? I haven't done it in a couple weeks, so I forgot what we do here. Well, welcome back to us.
Who are you?
I am Insidious Muse.
I'm glad you didn't forget that.
Might have. And who are you?
I'm Service Slut.
I'm fairly sleep deprived as of late. I've had this insomnia thing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing specifically preventing me from going to sleep at night except for just me. And so it's like, oh, I look and I'm like, fuck, it's 3. I should go to sleep. I have to get up in 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
So that's just been kind of my my groove lately.
I'm feeling you.
You're feeling me.
Feeling you.
How's it going?
It's going.
It's hot as hell.
Fuck.
And I mean, it's actually cooler in the studio than I expected, which is kind of nice.
It's cooler in here than it is outside, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the fiery pits of hell in Los Angeles, which is nothing new, but, you know, it's just unpleasant.
Yeah.
And to point this out to all of the people that are not from L.A., this is very typical L.A., which is that if it is not somewhere between 72 and 78, we bitch. Below 72 is too cold. And people go, 72? No, seriously. Below 72 is a little chilly. Ooh, I should grab a sweater. It's a little chilly.
Uh-huh.
Above 78, so 79 and higher, is like, whoa, what's going on? And it's 90 right now, so it's significantly above 78. So bitch mode is in full force in Los Angeles.
So, and then the power went out at the house, so there was no AC during the day, right?
Well, but I wasn't there, but yes.
That would have been miserable.
Oh, I would have left. I would have gone to a Starbucks.
Right?
No, I probably wouldn't have gone to a Starbucks. I would have gone to one of those stupid indie hipster places. Then I would have knocked all the hipsters.
Yes.
Even though apparently I am one.
So
not fashion-wise, but otherwise.
How's life for you?
I had sex today, so it's actually pretty good.
Okay. That wasn't clear from our dinner. I suspected it.
You didn't know that I had sex today?
I wasn't sure. And I was like, man, she's in a really good mood.
Like, why is she so happy?
What happened?
I had sex.
Now I know.
It's like, and it's the funny thing is I even posted on my vanilla Facebook, like, you know, I'm such a simpleton. It takes the easiest things just to put me immediately in a great mood.
I saw that and I thought, oh, maybe she saw like a bird or like she, you know, something itty bitty. No.
No.
I'm the simpleton.
You know, things like that make me happy for 2 seconds. Sex makes me happy for the rest of the day.
God damn it. Well, now we know how you need to start the day.
Every day, all the time. It's true. It's true. Anyway, so I'm good. And then, I mean, so let me walk you through my day, which was a really, really tough day for me. So, you know, like I woke up and then the power went out when I was in the middle of the shower, which is kind of awkward, but I was still pretty happy. And then I went and I got an hour long massage and an hour long facial, and then I had sex. But the price of which is I had to go A to the west side and B, I had to sit in traffic from the west side to downtown, which sucked.
Oh, no. And then, like, treated you to a very nice dinner.
And it was a very nice dinner. That burger was fantastic.
Right.
Yes.
So, wow.
And then we got cigarettes.
So hard.
And then,
such
yes.
Such a hard life.
It's ice.
Man.
It's challenging.
You know, I compare that to my day of, you know, getting, you know, handed 2 reports that, oh, the deadline is next week and I have to do all this, like, data analysis. And then, oh, wait, you know, somebody's, you know, things broke and then I had to fix them and then all of this stuff and then, you know, maybe taking like a 30-minute lunch and then, like, you know, kind of just struggling through the day. No.
So essentially you're Cinderella and I'm the wicked stepmother.
No.
Got it. I should let my hair go gray so I can have that little gray streak that she has. I want to do that. I want to be Maleficent though. She's really the one that I love. I'm just saying. Anyway.
But, you know, on the topic of sex.
So I was hanging out with a friend of ours, a kinky friend of ours, whom mm-hmm. I love.
And we both love very deeply, much.
As she's been on the show.
Yes.
And we're probably going to have her on next week because we're going to talk about nipple play next week with video.
Uh-huh.
With video. Everybody can play with their nipples. Now is the interactive component. Take your fingers, pinch your nipples. That's not now. That's next week.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were like chatting. And I don't know why the subject came up, but the subject came up with sex and BDSM and how some people and have such diametrically opposed opinions of how sex fits into BDSM. And some people are flat out offended by how sex fits into BDSM.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting. It was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I think that this is really an interesting topic to discuss. Because, I mean, we all have our own opinions. We all have our own experiences. And a lot of people talk about how BDSM is an extension of sex once you've kind of exhausted all of the sexual things that you can do. You go to more adventurous things, which often lead you to BDSM. And I could totally see that. And that, I would probably say, is very typical within the confines of a male het femme sub relationship, because those are sticking to more of kind of the societal expectations and roles, kind of the way a female should be subservient or should be submissive to the male in the part in the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think that that makes sense, because a lot of the sex that we see really is kind of enforcing that dynamic. And so I can see how the het male dom community and the fem sub community that submits to het male doms would see, well, sex and BDSM are intertwined. And,
right.
And they are. There's a lot of sex along with fucking, and then there's a lot of like anal as a part of that, and face fucking. Those are all kind of components underneath, you know, what I would call the purview of sex and BDSM. However, that is not the entirety of the BDSM community.
No way.
And we go to dungeons a lot. Like a lot.
That.
A lot.
We do.
And like a lot of different ones. Less different ones than we used to. We need to start going to more different ones.
Yes.
But, and one of the ones that we go to doesn't, they don't allow actual sex. And there are some other specific limitations, like no mouth to genitals. That, so we don't see a lot of sex there unless it's a members only party, and then they're allowed sex. But there are other ones that do. But it's very, very rare. Even in the het male world, it's rare for people to do that publicly. I mean, you have to be like a big exhibitionist to do that.
Right.
Like, for example, one time at band camp, no. One time we were at one of the dungeons that allows sex. And I was, I had somebody over a spanky mitch. Was it you or was it Katie?
I don't know. I know which one. I can't remember if it was her.
I don't know if it was you or Katie. Was bent over spanking bench, and I was spanking. And then at a massage table next to us, this female dom was being eaten out by her male submissive.
Yeah.
And I stopped and looked and then went to the bottom that I was spanking and said, oh, my God, so-and-so is... And we all stopped and looked.
Everybody stopped and looked.
And it's not because we wanted to see her get oral sex from this guy. It was that... Wow.
This is happening.
Oral sex is happening right here in front of us. Let's all watch. I mean, it's like, who doesn't want to see live porn, right? Yeah,
right. Oh, my God, it's been so long.
Right? Mm. But the reason is it's just something that we don't see that often, even though people very often put BDSM under the umbrella of sex. But it's really not necessarily linked.
I think there are a lot of sexual acts that can be part of BDSM, but that... One does not necessarily fall under the umbrella of the other.
Yes. Well, and here is where, because it gets a little confused and befuddled in there, mm-hmm. in that most people that are pretty active in BDSM, the things that get them aroused are not typical sexual acts.
Right.
For example, the number one thing that would arouse you is to have shackles on your wrists, your ankles, your neck, and to be led through a public square naked to be auctioned off as a slave.
Totally.
This is an arousing
thought. Completely logical.
This would make you wet and be like, oh my God, this is, I'm so excited. Most people that don't find that kind of humiliation enticing would be like, you know, like me, be like, no, not gonna happen. Sounds like hell. This sounds like the worst possible experience of my life, you know, unless I'm leading the chain, which, right.
Could be the best possible experience of your life.
Right. But the point is that those things can get us aroused, but it's not specifically sexual. And this is where I think it gets a little convoluted as well. I can be aroused by this, but it doesn't mean I'm going to want to go out and fuck everything because I'm aroused. It's like there's a different kind of arousal. It's almost like it's a mental arousal, not just a physical arousal, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
It's an enlightened arousal. I'm going to make this a new term, enlightened arousal. You know, does that, and I think that makes it a little confusing because when we go through scenes and stuff, are we both wet in the process? Yes, we are. That's the Hunger Games on my phone. because of our various roles, you know, I'm doing the top and you're doing the bottom, and it it's about the dynamic or whatever. Or even we can watch a scene that's like cutting or even suturing a vagina or, you know, these kinds of things that you wouldn't necessarily think are sexy, because it's not, trust me, suturing somebody or even needles is not sexy.
It's intense.
But it takes you to a different plane, a different level. And I think that you can't look at it under, you're not going to find that shit on Pornhub. You know, that's just, people aren't going to be like, ooh, that's just not going to happen. And you'll find that stuff on, you know, like kink.com, et cetera, and those kinds of sites. However, not everybody's going to look at it and get aroused. A lot of people are going to look at it and be like, ew, that's not, why would you do that? You know? And I think that's where it gets complicated. I'm babbling now, aren't I?
Now you are.
What, huh? Hey, look, we're done. I'm kidding. We're just starting. And what I don't understand, though, is it's cool. If that's not your thing, that's cool. But to be offended by somebody else having sex, I imagine if somebody having sex like in a dungeon or within the confines of that BDSM, publicly in the BDSM, or if that's how they define their relationship, it's just like everybody has their own kinks. But I feel as though some people create this glass box for sex, and everything that's sex goes in the glass box, and everything for BDSM can go in the adjacent glass box where they look like they're together,
but
they're not. You know, they can be acrylic boxes if you want it, because you're scared you're going to break the glass boxes. Exactly. Totally.
Well, here's the thing is that I think that within the BDSM community, we're very all about safety. Y'all want to be safe. And I think with sex, you know, there's so many different factors that go into being safe, you know, using protection and, you know, did your partner get tested and blah, 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 blah. It's almost as if though, you know, community has its own special set of social standards and morals that you must abide by. And you would think in a community where, oh, I don't know, shit like people being led by a leash is totally normal. You would think that something like sex would be perfectly fine. But I think that sex for anybody, not just in the kink community, but I think it can touch on very personal things. You know, we all grew up with different notions of what sex was supposed to be, how you were supposed to engage in it, with who and when. And I think that that's something that is ingrained in you so much, even if you are super kinky. I mean, you still have a piece of that. I mean, I grew up Catholic and I am not a practicing Catholic, but hey, I know when Easter is. I know when it's Ash Wednesday. I know why it's 40 days. I know what you're supposed to do at confession. I know that you're not supposed to go up there and get that really tasty wafer if you haven't done your first communion. And it's, if you haven't tasty. Confessed, whatever. But, you know, those things stay with you. And I wonder if sex is kind of like that, where you brought up a certain way, you have certain views about it, and no matter what other factors change, you kind of still have a little bit of that. You know what I mean?
No, that seems incredibly valid. That makes a lot of sense. And I find that is sometimes the case with specific acts as well. You know, it's interesting. Very few female dominants that I know have sex with their submissives. And some go to the point where they're vehemently opposed to it because they feel that a male submissive penetrating the female is a dominant act on the man's part, uh-huh. Which I've had this discussion with lots of them. I'm like, if you're telling him to do it, then no, you're still in charge. You know, they're doing everything you want. Let's say in a situation where someone is feeling switchy, if she tells you to top them, she's still dominating you. You're just topping them, you know? And some people have a lot of difficulty with that. And I think a lot of it boils down to that kind of, what was the socially acceptable norm when you thought of sex? Some people, it really does have to be within the confines of a loving relationship. I know people that, although they wouldn't necessarily say this, and I actually discovered this with a lot of men, if they don't feel like they're in love or that there's a love component, that they feel dirty about sex. And they fabricate the love to a degree. And it's like, you don't love me. Who the fuck are you? You don't love me. Whatever. That's what they need in order to go through with it. And that's what I mean by those, there are those barriers. And sometimes we create these bridges in order to falsely or whatever, in order to make us, you know, placate us so that we can carry on with whatever these acts may or may not be. That was a really interesting sidebar to my original point, which is that there are a lot of femdoms don't have sex with their submissives for a variety of reasons. Number one, they feel that it violates kind of the power exchange of the relationship. Number two, maybe they just aren't interested in having sex with their submissive. Number three, maybe their submissive has a small penis and they're not interested in that either. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different varieties, different things that go into those decisions.
Let me pick your brain then.
Pick away.
So what you've said seems to be more rooted in heterosexual DS relationships. What do you say about same? We don't have sex.
No, but again, there's a lot that goes into that. I mean, we have a really long history.
Yeah, we do.
Really, really long history. And part of that is because of there was that love thing. And so, you know, I'm always a little worried about breaking your heart all the time, believe it or not. Even when we fight, I'm still worried about it. So those are part of the reasons why it's okay. So that's off the table, which is fine. You know, even when I'm like, hey, I really want some girl sex. I got a girl I can have sex with. But it's like, well, the feeling will pass. It'll come back another time, or I could just watch some fantastic lesbian porn, which I don't really like, actually. I'd rather watch gay male porn.
Really confused right now.
Why?
Because you just threw a lot of knowledge at me.
Oh.
A lot of insight that I was not aware of. So.
Oh, well then.
That was weird.
Why?
Because I wasn't aware of that, so I'm like, information. I need to do something. My brain needs to do something with that.
I told you that.
Not that last part, no.
That I watch porn?
No, the part before.
Well, that I watch porn? This isn't a shocker.
The part before
I
that.
I probably have a couple Pornhub tabs open on my Chrome browser, my phone right now.
No, the part before that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I told you that.
No. I have never been under any impression that you would have ever wanted to have sex with me, so.
Oh. No, well.
That's new.
Then I've done what I set out to do, which was to shield you originally and tell them right now on this show.
Well,
to shield
okay.
you so that it wasn't one of those things that you added to the complexity of your emotional kind of maelstrom. You know what I'm saying? Tempest?
No.
Do I need a different word for maelstrom?
Storm? Don't know what's happening right now.
Well, neither do I now. I feel like this is just a weird show.
No. It's not a weird show. Let's just like get past that. Yeah. You know, me, delayed reaction. This will not hit me until days later.
All right. Awesome. No, and it's interesting. So I would love to see more sex in the dungeons and stuff.
Me too.
It's number one. Who doesn't like to watch sex?
Love watching sex.
I don't even bad
we
sex.
We should watch you have sex.
Oh, I'd love to watch her have
Hell
sex.
Hell yeah.
She'd be awesome. And her boyfriend?
Oh my God.
Awesome. She, you know what would be like during the show, you could just bend over
yes!
the console and we can watch you. That would be
yes!
awesome. And then we can like give a play by play and nobody could see it. It's just us.
I know.
I'll tell him and see what he thinks
Dude.
About it.
We like this
Nothing
idea.
Nothing gets us more excited than watching people fuck. I
For
don't
sure.
know what it is about it.
For sure. I mean, like, swingers parties. Like, we'll go and we'll just watch. And then we'll go out to, like, the main chatting area. Like, did you see her do that thing? I was highly impressed. And did you see that? Did you see what he has going on? That was fun. We're, like, totally, like, the sports center
sports
of
center.
Sex afterwards. It's awesome. But that's, I mean, you know. That is really cool to watch people have
God, I wish
sex.
We had, like, those monitors where, like, you could, you know, use that pen and then, like, you draw and, like, you know.
Did you see
look at that play.
And right there. We have full penetration. Full penetration.
Damn it. Somebody needs to make that happen.
Right? I'm sure there's the technology with
I'm
iPads
sure.
and shit.
I'm sure. Oh, boy.
No, but I would love to watch more sex. I mean, just in general. But, like, at the dungeon. I mean, and it's interesting because Gray Dancer and I had a conversation at the Grew 2 years ago, first Grew, second Grew, whatever, any one of these Grews. Were there only two Grews so far? Three Grews. There have been three Grews now. So it must have been the second Grew. And we had a conversation and he used the phrase kinky CrossFit.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a fantastic phrase. And basically what he was saying is, look, you can, you know, have anal sex and smack her and have a cane and cane her at the same time if you want to, you know, or do, you know, hair suspension. All. You can do multiple things at the same time safely. You can do these things. But he used the example of if you cane it, watch, because it can wrap. And he was doing that one time and it wrapped and it hit him. And he's like, ah, and that was like the end of the experience because his cock was like, hey, I don't like this. This is not fun. Let's not be hard anymore. And that's unpleasant in when you're inside someone's ass. I mean, I would imagine I don't have a cock. I mean, I don't have like, you know, a flesh one. I have lots of cocks, but not like.
Oh, I have
attached.
A cock for you. I've been meaning to give you a cock.
Okay. You actually have a lot of my cocks. I was looking at my box of cocks today for my sex today. And
Why do you need a cock for the sex that you had today? I need to know.
Oh, I like a dildo in my ass when I'm being fucked.
Jesus. I am learning so many things about you.
Right? Jenny's with me. It's awesome. So, and I was looking for, you know, a reasonable size because I haven't had anal sex in a really, really long time. So I had to bring all these cocks that were like, ah, and I had to go with a glass one, which is fine. I mean, because glass dildos, hello. But yeah, so, but you do actually have some of my cocks, I think, in your car. Are you completely and totally frozen?
Well, I
now?
Mean, you don't usually tell me, like, disclose things about yourself to me. So this is kind of a lot for me to fucking deal with right now. So just excuse the fuck out of me.
Well, my apologies for that. So that happened today.
It was, okay, then.
It was nice. I enjoyed it.
I have a field goal for you. Time.
Didn't you? I mean, is that the same one or is it a new one?
Yeah, it's the same one. I'm never going to use it, so.
You could.
You'll get more use out of it than I will.
You could. We have someone coming out.
That's right. Yeah.
I could dress you both up and then you can peg him. And you can have a field goal at the same time.
I could. Nice. What is it? Field goal?
A field goal.
So imagine a dildo, but the base of it, instead of it being a base, it kind of has like this nub, it curves up. So it's like this and then it goes like that. And so the part that goes like that, it goes inside of you. And so then it is like as if you are truly fucking someone and feeling the thrust and there's like a little bullet vibrator that's in there. So you're definitely feeling something.
That sounds like, right? Hello.
I got it for a steal too. I got it for $5.
Right. Well, and at a totally vanilla event.
Totally vanilla event.
Who knew? Who knew?
I highly recommend it.
Well, she's going to go around. Do you peg? Yeah. Do you peg your boyfriend? No. You should try it.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
It's a well-documented pleasure center. I say that every single time to every single person that's like, I don't like stuff in my butt. And I go, it's a well-documented pleasure center. And nobody has anything to say in response to that. They're like, well, there you go.
I agree. I tell him that too, but I don't know. He just, maybe he hasn't had something that feels good.
His
to do it.
G-spot is up there. So, you know, that's what I like to tell men. Your G-spot is there. Have you experienced the G-spot? And I said, look, and this is often where I start. Total sidebar here. This is often where I start. I was like, hey, you got a finger up your ass during a blowjob? No. That's the way you start, you know, because you're giving them positive reinforcement. The blowjob feels good. Let's try the finger. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
There you go. Pro tip there. Not that I'm a pro, but no. Oh, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, no.
Additionally, one of the things that like sex and BDSM, sometimes I like giving blowjobs for a couple different reasons. Number one, I worked really hard to give good blowjobs. It's like something I really worked on. It was a process.
No, I believe you.
And when you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing. And so I'm like, hey, if I don't suck a cock, maybe I'm just going to be like, oh my God, like it's my French. Like I've lost my French somehow. So I'm not going to suck a submissive's cock unless it's in chastity, which is just awesome because it's mean and cruel and I love it. But other than that, you know, I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? So I don't. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And usually their penises are small.
Sure.
It's true.
No, I get that.
It's true. It works when they like humiliation because then I can go there. If they don't like humiliation, this is a problem. Because then what do I say? Oh, yes.
No.
Look at that mighty sword. Dagger, maybe?
dagger.
Teenage high throwing knives.
I'm sorry. Just need to stop.
Which is why I love Logan. Because I can make fun of him nonstop and it's okay.
And it's okay.
It's okay. Interestingly enough, there are some things, like for me personally, that I wouldn't necessarily think are sexual, but I think that the person to whom I'm doing it thinks that it is. For example.
No, let me interrupt.
Yes, by all means.
So then that begs the question, if it's not sexual for both people, is it then really truly a sexual act?
I think that it is sexual to the person to whom it is sexual, and it is not sexual to the person to whom it is not sexual. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
I don't necessarily, I mean, you have two people having a shared experience. It's not going to be the same experience for both of them. It truly isn't. Let's all think about sex we've had in the past. And, you know, the next day, your partner's like, they don't burp because that's rude. Your partner's like, oh my God, that was amazing. It was so good. I loved everything. And you're thinking, were you at the same thing I was? Because whatever was happening was not good. Like, that thing with your lips, what is that? Why do you do that with your tongue? I don't understand any of it. Because it's just they're different experience. So that's what I go with. Sometimes conversations like that are with me, you know, because hey, I'm having a great time. And you're like, I don't know what you're saying. Yeah. You sound like you're on drugs.
Yeah.
But I'm not. One of these days, though, I want to be on drugs in this show. That would be awesome. Or awful. I'm not sure.
I don't know about that.
It'd be the Let's Get High show. Anyway, so, for example, when I do, like, anal play with you, it's sexual for you. Or when I'm, you know, for example, there was that one scene and I had you on the desk and I had the Hitachi and there was all this stuff going on and you had orgasms and stuff like that. That was not sexual for me. It wasn't. I assume it was sexual for you because you came. But it wasn't sexual for me because I was in kind of work mode, for lack of a better term, because I was working. I wasn't being paid, but like I was doing something that I was focused on and working on. It wasn't like, hey, yeah, baby, I'm touching my nipples and I'm getting all hard. No, that's not. It wasn't like that. Same thing for when I'm edging a submissive male or when I'm doing prostate milking or any of those things. It's not specifically sexual for me, but it is for them. Does that make sense?
Is it ever sexual for you?
Yes, it is. It's interesting because I feel very strongly that human beings don't go into a single emotion or experience and stay there forever. Mm-hmm. I feel that we kind of flow in and out of things. So within the context of a scene or an evening or an experience, there can be moments of sexuality and it can fall out and ebb. I think that that's more of how we as human beings operate. So, whereas, I mean, if you're like actually having sex, you're probably going to be ebbing and flowing within the sex vibe. But like for that, I mean, because I'm topping, because I'm in control and I have to make sure, I have to look out for safety. I have to look out for people around. There's so much that I have to be aware of all the time. I don't ever really get to let go like I do when I'm just having sex. When I'm just having sex, it's just me and one other person, and it's cool. We're all gonna do it. But when I'm in a confines of doing something that has potential danger issues, I'm always kind of aware of those things. So it pulls me out of any of those kind of sexual experiences often. Mm. So, and that might be a contributing factor for why some people don't put sex along with the BDSM.
Right. Yeah. Because touching on what I mentioned earlier about that safety component, I mean, you're absolutely right. When you're having sex, it's a very, you know, you can have tunnel vision for the most part, you know, but with everything else, there is too much going on. There's a lot of different things that can happen. So I can definitely understand that. Absolutely.
And also like kind of that sex in public thing, like sex in the dungeon, et cetera, et cetera. Some people don't perform well in those experiences. And I can understand that. It's intimidating. You are being watched. Yeah, and whether you have...
And judged,
really, because we're all judging all the time. And we really are. Whatever. You could be positively judging, but you're still judging, you know? And even if you're an exhibitionist, unless you feel completely comfortable with the people that are watching you, with the environment that you're in, or you're such a narcissist that you're like, hey, I'm totally, you know, that scene from American Psycho where he's looking at himself in the mirror, you know, and we know those people. Mm-hmm. But unless you're there, you know, you're going to have all of these other doubts and thoughts in your head, and it's going to impact the performance. So for me, like, if I was going to have sex in public, it better be rock star sex. Like, seriously, I have a fucking reputation to maintain. It's better be rock star sex. If it's not going to be rock star sex, no. Then let's just not do it because, you know, I don't want to confirm that I just want to, you know, knit Afghans, which I don't.
Wow.
Which I don't. I don't knit anymore. But, there's a lot. Again, it goes down to all of the concepts about sex that we were raised with. But then there's all these other things. There's other people's opinions about you and their opinions about sex and their opinions about sex and you, you know, that go into all of these various decision-making factors, which it's kind of daunting.
Well, I mean, speaking personally, you know, I value sex a lot. I think that it can be something very intimate and doesn't always have to be shared with everybody else, which is honestly for me, when people say, yeah, totally, you guys can totally watch us have sex. Like, to me, that's like, wow, that's, you trust us that much. That's amazing. I feel flattered, you know, that somebody would be okay with that, because I see it as something not necessarily sacred, but it's like that ultimate energy exchange, you know? So for me, like, I think about having quote unquote traditional sex at the dungeon, and like, it would really, it would be a little bit unsettling for me, because I would constantly, because yeah, I'm not gonna go into subspace. Like, I'll be constantly aware of every little sound and people passing by and all this stuff. It'd be a lot harder for me to just zone out and just be in the sex, versus when it's, you know, a scene and, you know, these things are happening. Yeah, hey, let's go into subspace like that, you know?
Because there are mitigating factors that get you there before it becomes a specifically sexual act.
Precisely.
Because those mitigating factors arouse you, although they're non-traditionally sexual.
Right. Right.
My phone's going to die. I don't know how to ask me. Too many people texting me. I'm interviewing.
Because everybody wants to have the sex with you.
Well, I'm interviewing fuck buddies, and there's a lot of people texting me. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to ignore them all, though.
First world problems.
First world problems, totally.
Yeah, for sure.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, but that's what I got. I mean,
well, so, but you do, you, well, you haven't had traditional sex in a long time. But even the last time you had traditional sex was before you entered the community. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you could have traditional sex?
I wouldn't know. I truly don't know, because I haven't tried. There's that one. And I feel like I'd be more critical
of them or of you?
Of both them and me.
Wow. In what way?
Because I'd be critical of them because I would expect a higher level of communication. Whereas before, I didn't give a fuck. I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, wait, there's things we need to discuss. Will there be dental dams involved? Or what, are you healthy? What has been in your vagina? What has been in your mouth? Just different things that, you know, years ago, naive me would not have thought about asking or even felt comfortable bringing up. So that definitely makes it so that I would now seek a higher level of, I don't know, just a higher level.
I mean, certainly some of that could be attributed to BDSM, et cetera, but I think that that's actually kind of the evolution, sexual evolution of kind of our time right
sure.
now.
No, absolutely.
This expectation that these, I mean, it's no longer even a question about condoms or dental dams
right.
or test results. Those are expectations now when you're having sex, which it wasn't the case even 10 years ago. That wasn't necessarily the case. But it's definitely, we've gotten a little bit more heightened. Do you think that it's a combination of those two? I mean, would because the safety component, I mean, that's kind of an expectation. I think that we get into a next generation communication in BDSM where it's about preferences.
Right.
Likes, dislikes, yes and no's. And I'm curious for you.
I couldn't even tell you what my preferences are.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
I mean, I couldn't tell you what my preferences are because I don't know how those have changed in this time period. I just don't.
Okay. Well, because you used to always be kind of the sexual alpha, correct?
Yes. And so
that's not your comfort zone. That's not where you'd prefer to be.
I don't think so. I mean, I have, again, haven't tried it since, so I'm not sure. It's something that's really great for me. I think I would be critical of myself in that I would, because I've had, you know, certain experiences with you, and it's not because it's you centric. It's that it's the experiences that because if these things have happened, because I've seen other things happen, because I've seen other people have experiences, it kind of creates just, you know, a preconceived notion of what it should be like. And
okay, so, well, it sets expectations.
Right, and so I put a lot of pressure on myself just in
for your performance or for their performance?
My performance.
Oh, I'm way too much of a top because I put expectations of their performance.
No, I worry about my performance in all aspects. But I you know, that's a really big worry for me. And so, I think about, fuck, I'm kind of scared to have sex because... shit, I'm probably really rusty and it's probably going to be terrible. So,
see what I mean about sucking the cock? I mean, I'm not telling you to suck cock, but it's, you know, as far as, you know, you gotta keep the skills sharp. That's
sure.
What I'm saying. Keep the skills sharp.
Yeah.
We should get you one of them realistic vaginas.
Oh, you did not just say that.
That's awesome. Oh my God. Your birthday coming up.
I don't know what to do with you sometimes. I genuinely don't know what to do.
Why? Because I say things like realistic vagina.
Because I don't know where you come up with this shit.
I used to work in a sex shop.
Get that, but I understand. But yeah, you know, I see, you know, I was there that time that we saw that couple have sex at that dungeon. And I had the same kind of, I didn't have the same kind of wow, how cool of them to totally share their intimacy with all of us. Because that was not it. That's not what that was.
Oh, no. That was definitely not it wasn't intimate. It was a show.
It was a show.
Which is fine.
Yeah, totally. Do your thing.
We like shows.
Yeah. Mm. But I saw it more as I saw it as a show, but I also kind of felt like I was drawn in unexpectedly. Kind of like
without consent or just...
I hesitate to say without consent.
Obviously, you consent to seeing everything when you walk into a dungeon. But you know what I'm saying? Where it's on your side, you're like, whoa. You know, did you feel hesitant to watch?
I couldn't not look away.
I stopped my scene because I was like, now I have to watch.
Right.
This doesn't happen. Let's watch this.
And honestly, I couldn't look away, and it reminded me unpleasantly about another scene that I'd seen a couple of years ago. Where it was super should have had trigger warning written all over it and made me mega uncomfortable and not even in a good way. And it reminded me a lot of that, where because you are the spectator, you're there, you're going to see it. Unless you fucking walk out the room, you're going to see it.
Which I do, because I've had those experiences too. And I'm like, whoa. And I think human nature is our first indication, our first reaction is to blame them.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a really minor thing. Somebody was punching someone's arm on a couch, playfully. And that was an issue because my ex-husband used to do that to me all the time. Not so playfully. And so for me, it was a real trigger. And it was in the main room but I looked at it, I was like, whoa. And it really freaked me out. And I just said, I just need to go. I just need to walk out of the room. And I did. And that's cool because that's their scene, and it was totally consensual between them, and I can't, you know, put my shit on somebody else.
Right.
But I feel what you're saying. Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't think it was, something that I needed to, have some fucking aftercare for or anything. but it was just one of those things where I just felt like I was there, and... nothing else. That's just what my eyes were glued there.
Yes. Like, yeah. I do that too. It's like watching train wreck sometimes.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. And which it kind of was a little bit.
It was, it was. Well, and we were, and this is why we're both bad and awesome people. And that we were totally doing commentary. Like, does she think she's going to do it? I wonder if she's going to fake it. Because I don't know. He's not doing it. I don't hear anything coming out of her. It was just really a very interesting experience.
SportsCenter.
Exactly. We're totally SportsCenter. And we all we do is color commentary. It's pretty awesome. We don't actually have like a former professional athlete in there talking about it. No.
Shit. Oh, my God.
Have a professional athlete? What?
Yeah, we should have like somebody who has already had sex with one of those people. And they could be that retired athlete person.
That's fucked up. And I totally want to do it now.
Right? Oh my God.
We all know that person that's had sex with everybody. So it shouldn't be hard to figure out. Oh God, that's awesome. I love that. We're so bad.
But yeah, you know, I overall, I don't have a problem with seeing people have sex at the dungeon. I don't, you know?
No, I think it'd be cool.
No, and I think that, you know, for a lot of people, it's a testament to the relationship, you know? I mean, some people are ridiculously in a committed relationship. Some of them are monogamous, and that's totally cool. And they're in love, and they want to have sex, and that's fine. That's totally cool.
But if they're not, then that's not cool?
No, relax.
I'm getting there. I'm just asking.
No. But I'm saying, you know, that's great. That's awesome. It's not a big deal. You know, you're bringing up the point of people who aren't in love and are not in a committed relationship. It's not like how
they're just whoring around.
It's not that they're like somehow, you know, soiling themselves on, you know, the sanctity of sex.
Totally soiling myself on the sanctity of sex. Because sex is sanctimonious.
No, I don't have a problem with that either. I think, like I said, for me, it's a really intimate thing. I would be hard pressed to, you know, do that kind of sex. Like, you know, we're both being sexual with each other, not one person, you know, leading the whole act and whatnot. It would be difficult for me to do that.
I can understand that.
Yeah. That would be difficult for me. But that doesn't mean that I like somehow turn up my nose to other people who do it.
No.
Not at all.
And I agree. I would have difficulty doing that, like having actual sex in a very public place. I mean, you know, we've gone to swingers parties and stuff, but even then it's like, can I go to the back room? Because I don't know you people. I make weird faces and sounds during sex and not everybody needs to see that. So, you know, it's one of those things. But the people that do it, you know, I'm watching. It would be interesting to have it in some of the back rooms because I can imagine all the people, clustering around.
It's
the
like
door.
That fucking, it's like a unicorn. Like you just don't see that at the dungeon.
It's true.
You really don't see that.
It's true. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Let's go to the other dungeons so that we can see this.
All right. So this is the thing. We're going to go to the dungeon, but we need to see sex.
Oh my God. Can you remember the last time that we went dungeon hopping? Like it's been forever and a fucking day.
It really has.
Yeah.
All right. We need to figure that out.
Yeah.
Figure that out. Well, not this weekend because we're busy weekend.
Well, yeah.
And, you know. Yeah. It's a busy weekend, but.
Social life.
Because everybody wants to see us. And I have dates every night. I don't want to go on these dates.
She's not joking.
I'm really not joking. And, you know, although the Friday night I'm really excited about, I'm going to go hang out with a bunch of sex bloggers. Like not just bloggers, like legitimate writers. Like they're actually published people. I'll be like, hi. You don't know, I'm an idiot. I won't do that. I will act like I have
like
a brain.
A civilized person.
A civilized sex blogger.
Surrounded by mahogany.
Mahogany. Well, these are all like normal like sex bloggers. Like they just talk about normal sex and I don't. So that'll be interesting. Whatever that is. Yes. So one of these, we should examine calendars, examine events, and set up dungeon hopping.
Yes.
And if we want any people to hop with us.
Yes.
Not many people like to hop.
Yeah, I get that. We'll be really selective about it, just so you know.
Yes, I know.
Because, you know.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you on all of that. Well, I'm already very particular about the people that we actually hang out with in general, so.
Although I would gladly see any one of those people fuck. the people that we are in contact with.
Yes. Yes.
I really would.
Yes. I want to see all of them.
There's so
every
much.
Every single one of them.
There's so much you can tell about someone when you watch them have sex.
Yes.
So much. More than you would get from a regular conversation or just doing, you know, regular activities that don't involve being in bed with another person and
yes.
genitalia. There's just so much you can tell.
Genitalia.
What?
No, I think that, and that's, again, if I don't know, and I've been thinking about, you know, do I want to, the challenge is mixing sex in with my BDSM. I applaud those people that can really do that, like all of the, you know, the BDSM videos and the GIFs and stuff that I see on Tumblr, where it's, you know, like the male het dom, and he's doing the traditional kind of BDSM-y things, you know, face fucking and all of those kinds of things. And it's like, wow, you know, they can do that, because I suppose those are kind of normal, regular kind of heterosexual acts. They're just adding a component of severity to it, which therefore makes it cross the threshold to BDSM.
Right.
And that's cool, but it's you know, I don't know if I have the skill to adequately incorporate that into my play and feel comfortable with all of the safety aspects. I do a lot of edge play, and it's one of the, I mean, like, I don't do normal play anymore. Normal play. I mean, almost everything that I do is considered edge play. And so I don't know, I'm not sure if I would have the skill to be able to somehow interweave that with my play.
Because it's just another ball to juggle.
Which I'm okay with. I actually like the multiple juggling of balls, and that's not even a CBT comment. I like challenge. I really do. And I mean, now, of course, I'll have the ball thinking of, is that something that I want to do, and how do I do it, and would I ultimately incorporate that? But it's also, is that really where I want to go? Is that, you know, I'm not, it depends on what you're doing with the scene. I'm always so focused on kind of the emotional, psychological experience of it. Whenever I bring kind of a sexual component into our scenes, it's usually always riding on the coattails of those two, as opposed to being focused entirely on sex. And the challenge, I think, is I would tend to focus too much on the sex, because I really, really, really like sex.
You really, really, really do.
And I want to focus on that entirely. And I want, one of the reasons I really like, you know, kind of the kind of sex that I like, is that I do get to just let go. I don't have to constantly be in charge all the time. I like kind of that struggle where I can struggle for it, but I don't have to worry about all of the ancillary things. So right. It's, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not a possibility for me to add it into my kind of BDSM play, but I just, you know, do I want to, and is that a muscle I'm willing to work on, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
That's where I'm going.
I'm feeling you.
You're feeling me. You're clicking on stuff. What's going on?
Just did something weird.
All of a sudden saw, I was like, what's going on? Do we have a caller? Which, of course, we don't, because we don't have to figure out the phone number, and I don't give a phone number because I don't like callers.
Yeah.
I love listeners. I love all of you people that listen. I really, really do. Many of whom I know personally.
Yes.
Some of whom I've had sex with. I'm kidding. I haven't had sex with any of our listeners. I just don't, I'm so picky on content. Not that you would guess from this show or anything that comes out of my mouth, but some people.
Yeah, we really enjoy seeing reviews and being contacted. There's like 21 messages in my inbox on FET. I mean, we're terrible at...
I really am, and I haven't. I reset my phone, so I don't have the app.
What?
I have, because you can't download it from the Play Store anymore. Right. I have to go to that special place. That means I have to look for it, blah, 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 blah. Which I will, but I haven't done it yet because I had to reset my phone. So mm-hmm. I just haven't gone there yet. Although the East Side Munch is coming up, and I was like, oh shit, the East Side Munch is coming up. But I've got a date. I set up the date before Andrew sent out the
email. When is it?
Email. It's tomorrow.
Oh.
It's tomorrow at Philippe's.
I've never been there.
Oh my God.
Can I go?
Like the best French dip ever. Okay. Yeah, you totally can go.
Yes.
Such a good French dip. Huh. So good. Awesome. Why don't you see if anybody else is free?
We'll see.
Yeah, ask around. Ask around. That way you don't have to go alone. I mean, I you can if you want to, but I know that you get a little anxiety. Mm. Are you having anxiety now thinking about it?
A little bit.
Would it have been better if I had said no? I can't fucking win. Maybe I should take my date to Felice.
Oh, boy. Wow. Hey, what's up?
Kidding.
Let's not do
kidding.
That.
Kidding.
Let's not do that.
Kidding. No. No. I'm just having drinks. I want to limit my exposure to these people. What if I don't like them?
So, what do you think the next frontier is for you in terms of sex and BDSM?
I actually don't know. I mean, it's... Because I've kind of lived with them separate for so long, conceptually combining them is going to take work for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I've really gone out of my way to separate them in my mind, in my life. I'm sure that there could be some deep psychoanalysis of it all.
Yes. But,
and that's, you know, it so in order for me to bridge that gap, it's not an impossibility, but it's going to take some work, some processing, some, you know how you have delayed reactions. I don't specifically have delayed reactions, but before I make a decision, I will literally think about something for weeks, even months, and logic every possibility out before I come to a decision.
Because it's funny, because you totally dance around the fact that you're kinky when it comes to your fuck buddies.
Yes.
For instance, yes. You know, the T-Rex that is involved in your life. He comes over and there's floggers hanging from, you know, the side of the bed, or there's ridiculous other things. I don't know. He may or may not have been with us at a fucking swing party where all of...
When we were at my house doing Cards Against Humanity, I took Lily upstairs and was cracking the whip, teaching Lily with the whip, and gave her the whip. And he even asked the next time we were together, he was like, so you were teaching a class? And I was like, oh, yeah, I do that a lot. And he goes, like a sex class? I go, yeah. And that's it. Like, I say nothing else.
Yeah, no. You get no further information. And bless his fucking heart, he doesn't ask.
He doesn't ask. And you want to know what I like that, because I'm that kind of person too. If you don't want to know the answer, don't ask the question.
Yeah.
Don't ask the question if you don't want to know the answer. And right. I think he's there. I don't want to know the answer. I'm not going to ask the question. Cool. We're cool there. You didn't ask the question, so I'm not going to answer it.
Right.
Yes.
But see, you know, that means you're kind of putting the ball in his court. You're not willing to offer the information.
Nope.
So, you know, I guess that was more my question is, because, I mean, you're kinky. That's not going to change. But you know, and you're now, what is happening, this quest of finding, you know, a supplemental fuck buddy, you know, is it going to be the same thing where if they don't ask, you don't tell?
Yes, because I'm not looking for a boyfriend. I'm looking for a fuck buddy. There's a very specific set of responsibilities in
yes, that. But that, my question was more, so yes, you'll have a fuck buddy, but it's going to be a purely vanilla fuck buddy. There will be no kinky.
I don't do anything vanilla. Even my vanilla sex is still risque to the vanilla people. You know, I mean, it's still very rough. I like really, really rough sex. So it's still not, you know, the people that I have sex with probably think they're really kinky. I mean, they're not. It's adorable. Bless their hearts. But it's like, whatever. Pull my hair. Whatever. Mm. Try pulling it harder. I have a really high pain tolerance. You know, those kinds of things. So for me, I mean, I part of the reason why I don't add additional relationships in is because I have a really, number one, really full life. Really full life. Really complicated life. And it's like, how do I fit that other puzzle piece in? Is there even room for another puzzle piece? I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, ideally, a kinky person would be great. But, you know, I'm so...
So many factors.
Picky.
There's so many factors.
Right. It's the same thing for you, for why you don't have another person in your... It's very complicated.
Very
wow,
complicated.
Wow, we're going to run out.
Wow.
Wow. Look at that chit chat. I don't even know what we're talking about. anyway, so this is Intellectual Kink. And I am at Insidious Muse on the Twitter and every place else.
I'm at Service Slut.
And, you know, we love you people.
We really do.
We really, really do. Like, genuinely, individually, and then as a whole.